Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Peace World Radio. Vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jans is an energetic, vibrant, and engaging show that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who are using their lives to raise the frequency of our world. Here you will meet authors, actors, scientists, activists, and so many more who dare to dream that things can be different, who think beyond what they were taught and have the courage to not settle. If you too believe that a world of peace is possible and have been looking for inspiration to become part of this extraordinary step in the evolution of humanity, then you're in the right place, because that's what Peace World Radio is all about. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having. Now here is your host, Christina Jans.
Hello and welcome to Peace World Radio on this gorgeous Monday. I'm so glad you're able to spend some time with me, and I want to thank you in advance for putting up with my coughing, my nasally frog-like voice today. Holy smokes, this year has been the most intense year for seasonal allergies that I've ever experienced. So my apologies in advance. But on a positive note, I want to tell you about a beautiful little book that I have at home called Einstein and Buddha. It's a collection of parallel quotes that reveals how seemingly opposite paths, scientific observation and spiritual contemplation, have produced amazingly similar ideas about the nature of the universe and our place in it. Here's an example. So this first quote is from Albert Einstein. Physical concepts are pre-creations of the human mind and are not, however it may seem, uniquely determined by the external world. And now here's the parallel quote from Buddha. All such notions as causation, succession, atoms, and primary elements are figments of the imagination and manifestations of the mind. They're saying the same thing. Science and spirituality saying the same thing. So the question we're exploring today is this. Is there a connection? Is there a connection between science and spirit? Do they have anything in common? Could there be one truth, even one law that links them? Well, my guest today is exactly the person we need to have here to be exploring this. Her name is Dr. Ruth Miller, and she's been engaged in a lifelong study of living systems and consciousness. Hang on one second. Here comes the cough. Sorry about that. Interestingly, it was a life-threatening illness that led Ruth to integrate her spirituality into her academic understanding. So I can't wait to ask her about that. She is now Director of Research and Programs for the Portal Center in Oregon. Before I introduce her to you, please jot down this phone number, because today, August 12, 2013, we're giving away a free copy of Dr. Ruth Miller's book, One Law, to the first caller. The number to call is 1-800-930-2819. And I'll say that again, 1-800-930-2819. First caller gets a free copy of One Law. Welcome to Peace World Radio, Ruth. It's such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you. It's a delight to be able to be with you and explore these wonderful ideas.
Great. Now, the way I came to know about you was through this book you wrote called One Law, and it focuses on Henry Drummond. So for our listeners, can you tell us who Henry Drummond was and why you felt it was so important to write this book?
All right. Well, most modern folks have experience with Henry Drummond from a little book called The Greatest Thing in the World that is often given to people as a gift of love, a gift of friendship. It's one of the very last things that he produced, actually, before he passed on in the late 1880s, and it's been in print ever since. And we did include parts of it in the book One Law because it's his way of applying many of the ideas that he presents in the very first book that he published, which was called Natural Law in the Spiritual World. And Drummond was almost a colleague of Charles Darwin, but he didn't have they didn't have a lot of interaction. Drummond was a natural history professor in the 1860s, 70s, 80s, in that period. And he was in Scotland, but he was also a Christian evangelist. And so this book is the marriage of those two ways of being and two ways of thinking that really worked for him. And when he published the book, he went off on a trip to Africa, so he had no idea what happened. When he came back, they had sold hundreds of thousands of copies, and people all over the world were saying, oh, thank heavens, now I can, accept what Darwin and the other evolutionists are saying, and I can still have my Christian faith.
Oh, really?
And, it was truly wonderful for them. And the reason it was important for us, for the Library of Hidden Knowledge series, is when the founder of religious science, Ernest Holmes, was growing up, in his household, there were two books, the Bible and Henry Drummond's Natural Law in the Spiritual World. Mm-hmm. And so they profoundly influenced Ernest Holmes' thinking. And so when he created the Institute for Religious Science, which is now a wonderful base for hundreds of centers for spiritual living, he was, operating from a mental framework that said, we can integrate our spiritual life and our scientific mind. So it's a powerful piece.
Absolutely. Now, it seems to me that for so long we've been taught, or it was implied, that spirituality and the sciences were separate, were somehow mutually exclusive. But now that line seems fainter and sometimes even there at all, as in the quote that I just read from Einstein and Buddha. Ruth, what do you think? Do you think there is a connection? Are the laws of the spiritual world extensions of the natural world or vice versa? What do you think?
Well, I absolutely think so. And I came into this world in a family various backgrounds and interests, all of whom were very intellectual. And my grandmother was very spiritual in her work, and my mother was very scientific in her work, and they raised me. So it was, all right, I better figure out some way to integrate these at some point. However, I went into academia, and I acquired a number of degrees along the way. I have a bachelor's in anthropology and a certificate in environmental studies, and did extensive work in genetics and microbiology in those worlds, and did a little guide for people to understand how radiation affects the body and those kinds of things. And then went on with a master's in cybernetics and a PhD in systems science, where my job was to assess the long-term impacts of emerging technologies and policies. So I was really in that world and really seeing that there was an issue around consciousness and really trying to understand what consciousness was about and what was the role of consciousness and all those good things, but not bringing my spiritual life into that question until, as you mentioned in the introduction, the body gave out and the prognosis was not good and there were no medical solutions. There was nothing in the world of science that could help me. And so it was, all right, I've got two small girls. I need to get some answers here. And so I began to, really look at the world of the spirit and discovered how our spiritual and emotional lives have an incredible impact on our physical lives, and began to heal spiritually and emotionally, which then began to heal the body, which then, went on into, all right, what happened, how did that work, and what are the principles involved?
Mm-hmm. So that's how you made that connection with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's so powerful when we, not that I would wish it on anyone or what you went through, you know, in terms of your illness, but sometimes it is those direct experiences that force us out of that tight little paradigm that our minds live in to find greater connections with a greater whole, do you think?
Absolutely. In fact, I'll call most diagnoses that people get terrified over wake-up calls.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we haven't taken the message when it was light and easy, and we haven't taken the message when it was just a little more challenging. So we're going to be knocked flat on our backs and told, pay attention.
And we sometimes call those crises or times when we think things aren't going well or we're out of control or life around us is falling apart. But I know when I've looked at my life, you know, when things like that happen, that's when the greatest awakenings have happened.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, in the 12-step movement, they say you have to bottom out. It's the same thing.
Yeah, yes.
We have to reach the point where our intellectual rationalizations, justifications, reasons, explanations no longer make any sense to allow ourselves to experience something beyond that, as in the quotes that you just read. You know,
Beautiful. We are going to pause for a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be exploring more about reconciling science and nature with Dr. Ruth Miller. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you interested in learning about how to add more eco-conscious living into your life? Amy Tuwillis, broker and owner of Rhino Roz Realty, is dedicated to helping people buy and sell healthy homes. She strives to educate people on incorporating more green features into your environment. Rhino Roz Realty wants to be a resource before, during, and after a transaction. Whether someone is buying or selling a single-family home, multifamily, condo, or investment property, Rhino Roz can provide the service and knowledge that is needed to make informed decisions. For a free market analysis or more information about greening your home, contact Amy at rhinoroz.com, R-H-I-N-O-R-O-Z.com, or call 206-508-1250. Rhino Roz Realty, charging on your behalf in the Northwest.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com to Inspired Action Radio with Jennifer B., mastering the art of dream building in the real world. This hit show will inspire you to start painting the canvas of your life and bring your unique spirit and your amazingly intelligent mind together to find an incredible, practical, real-world strategy to building a life with epic results. Tune in to Inspired Action Radio with Jennifer B.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world. I'm Christina Jan, sounding a little nasally today. My apologies for that. My very special guest is Ruth Miller. Before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you, Ruth. Do you have your website address handy that you can tell our readers, our listeners about?
Absolutely. My personal website where there are articles and interviews and descriptions of my books is www.rlmillerphd.com.
Okay.
And my organizational website where I'm working on these research issues is theportalcenter.org, www.theportalcenter.org.
Great. And I will be putting up your website, your personal website address, as a link on the Peace World Radio website this week, so people
Wonderful.
Will get it that way as well. Also, to our listeners, be sure to call in today, August 12, 2013, because we're giving away another copy of Dr. Ruth Miller's book, One Law, to the next caller. So the number to call is 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819 to get a free copy of this really wonderful book. I've read it. Now, Ruth, over the break, we were just talking about something very interesting, and I said, hold on to that thought because we have to continue live, and you were talking about intelligent people and divinity.
Yes.
Can you pick up on that?
Well, it turns out you and I both have an undergraduate degree in anthropology, and what I was saying was that the course that pulled me into that field was the comparative religions course. And I had grown up in a family that there was a mixture of science and spirituality, but the general assumption, and I could see in the world around me, the general assumption is that in our culture, if you are intelligent, if you are wise, you probably don't believe in God. You probably don't have any kind of relationship with the divinity, in academia for sure, And then I'm in this class in comparative religions, and I'm looking at cultures all over the world, and I'm realizing every other culture on the planet, the wise people have these wonderful relationships with divinity.
What's that saying about us?
Exactly. What is that saying? And Drummond names it. He absolutely nails it. And he nails it in the first chapter of the book One Law. My version of it is, educated young people find it hard to accept or retain the forms of religion they grew up with. And this is especially true of those trained in the sciences.
Yes.
And what he's saying is that the scientific method, with its emphasis on if this, then that, if I can observe this and I can observe that, then that must be the outcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
That clarity, that assuredness is so brilliant that it is very difficult to fall back on or continue with what are sometimes pretty vague and symbolic references that we've been handed by our adults. And he has the answer to that. And he says that it's not possible for science to overthrow a faith that's based on understanding rather than blind adherence to the voices of authority from our childhood.
Mm.
And that's what has to shift. Now, as I went on in life, I began to observe something. And by my late 20s and early 30s, I observed that all those guys that I had known as a child who were young, agnostic or atheistic scientists and only saw material reality as relevant or useful, were beginning to have different kinds of ideas when they got into their middle years, somewhere
right?
Between 45 and 60. I called it waking up to humanity.
Really? Yeah.
And, you know, and so then we get to the point where they have white hair, and I would look around, and I knew about the kinds of things you quoted from Einstein, and I knew about Erwin Schrödinger's work, and I knew about a lot of white-haired physicists and engineers and mathematicians who were now mystics.
Mm.
And so I started exploring, and I discovered that whether it's mathematical physics or housekeeping or farming or the ministry, it doesn't matter, whatever you do, accounting, insurance, whatever you do fully for 25 to 30 years will get you to the place where you realize the oneness and the wholeness of all that is.
Oh, I just love the way you put that. It sort of made me think about something Einstein said, that science without religion is blind, and religion without science is lame.
That above the main office desk at the Portal Center.
Oh, very good, very good. Now, in the book, I came across this passage, and when I read it, I went, I get this. This is what I've always felt. And it goes like this: matter has no separate existence without thought. The spiritual existed first, and the natural, the physical, is a visual representation, a working model of it. Can you explain this to us, to our listeners?
Now, there's a lot of different language we can use for that one, but if we go back to the most tested experience in quantum mechanics called the double slit experiment,
right,
we discover that energy becomes matter only in the presence of consciousness. When there is a conscious observer present, energy becomes matter. Otherwise, it remains energy. Well, this is huge.
It's massive, this concept.
So,
for instance, you know, Ruth, one of the things I love to do is take these fabulous ideas and then bring it down into real time, you know, to the busy lives and the things that aren't working and what is that thing to me, but I really want to hear your thoughts on that, is that we can change our lives. Literally, we can change our lives by virtue of the fact that the observer, the participant, is creating it. And so if we're creating it, we can also create differently. Is that what it's saying?
Absolutely. And the other book that came out last year, Florence Scovel Shin's The Game of Life and How to Play It, we did The New Game of Life, is we took her work about how to do what you just described, brought it into the 21st century, and gave some of the science that supports it. So sometime you and I will have to talk about that. But back
for
to
sure.
One law, what Drum is became clearly aware of is that the idea preexists the experience, okay? And in his idea, in his words, in his thinking, in his way of being, the idea is the spiritual idea. The spiritual idea exists. It becomes a thought in mind. The thought in mind works on the energy surrounding us to bring forth the matter in form. And in the quantum physics, what we see is there are, for example, certain physicists who are not allowed in the Stanford Linear Accelerator building when there are experiments going on.
Why?
Because when those physicists are present, the experiments don't work properly.
Oh, no, really?
Really. You know,
that's something.
I grew up walking past the Chicago site where the West Stands, and my mother actually worked on the Manhattan Project, and you know, so I was looking down at one of these beautiful cyclotrons there, where they were speeding up subatomic particles, when I walked to school, and I got to live next door to one of the technicians at the Stanford Linear Accelerator, and some of the films and pictures that he brought home of what happened on their experiments, were just wow. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But so as soon as we begin to think that, but of course the next argument is, but that's all at the quantum level. That's not at the level of Newton's apple, and that's not at the level of rockets to the moon. Well, yes and no, because let's start looking at cells. We get to work with Bruce Lipton and these other wonderful people looking at epigenetics, and they're
yes.
seeing that when there is a change in the thinking, there is a change in an energy exchange between the cells, and the cells are now functioning in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't all chemical. It turns out that there is a subtle energy. It isn't on the electromagnetic spectrum. It isn't a measurable form of light or radio waves. But somehow there is information exchanged at a faster rate than either the chemicals or the nerve signals can travel within the body. And
what
so
is
there's
it?
This concept of a field of consciousness. And there's a lot of evidence for that in biology. The salamander that, you know, you cut off the leg, a new leg grows. Well, there's more and more technology that allows us to see the, quote, field, the energetic field around the salamander that it's growing into.
Mm-hmm.
And a very simple observation is if you look at your finger, at the tip of your finger, the very same cells that are growing straight in a straight line below start to curve over at the top. How did that happen? What is telling that particular cell, which is identical to every cell next to it, that it is now going to curve?
And what's the answer to that?
There appears to be an information energy field that we will call consciousness, a pre-existing consciousness, that the body is conforming. Rupert Sheldrake calls it a morphogenetic field.
Mm-hmm.
And that morphogenetic field applies to every individual being and apparently applies to all beings of a resonant type over around the planet. So what Drummond was saying, he didn't have any of that data. He didn't have those instruments. But Drummond knew that there was something that pre-existed his thought, which pre-existed the form. And
wonderful. I'm going to pause you there, Ruth. We're going to come back and pick up on that as soon as we come back from our break. We're going to continue more of this fascinating topic, the connections between science and spirituality, with Dr. Ruth Miller. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world, with Christina Jantz. Each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk. The world is happening.
Are you looking for positive answers to tough questions in your personal and professional life? On Purpose Radio with Karen Florence is a riveting show that will help you reveal your own truth and begin to live the life you've always wanted. Karen's dynamic approach to coaching people in all areas of their lives has made her one of the most sought-after coaches today. Tune in each Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit OnPurposeRadio.com.
Are you ready to have all your relationships work for you? Those with your family, friends, and coworkers? Perhaps with a lover? How about with your body and your money? Ask Susan, relationship counselor, life coach, and Access Consciousness facilitator. Susan Lazar Hart has assisted thousands in creating relationships that truly work for them. Ask Susan, a monthly telecall where you can be heard and receive simple tools to apply to all your relationships. AskSusan.net. That's ask-susan.net.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
If you're just joining us on Peace World Radio, my very special guest today is Dr. Ruth Miller. Today, August 12, 2013, if you would like to get a free copy of Dr. Ruth Miller's book, One Law, here's the number to call, 1-800-930-2819. We will be giving a free book to the next caller, 1-800-930-2819. If you have been wondering about the connection between science and spirituality, read this book. It's just so beautifully put together. I loved it. So, Ruth, we were talking about consciousness just before the break, and I came across this great phrase in the book. It's called the protoplasm of spirit. Tell me what the connection is, or is there a connection between the protoplasm of the spirit and consciousness.
Marvelous. Well, for those who don't know that word, it is protoplasm is the stuff of cells without the individuated cells. So it might be the material that was inside a bunch of cells, and it's the basis. It is what becomes the cells of a being. And in the book, Drummond quotes Thomas Huxley. Some people might remember Aldous Huxley as an author, but Thomas is his father, and he was a great biologist in the 1900s. So this concept that there is something that is more like protoplasm at the level of spirit than, you know, was something that Drummond created. And he said, you know, that matter, like energy, is uncreatable and indestructible. And, you know, we can only form and transform. We can't make something new, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying that spiritual life is doing the same thing, that we can't make some new spirit. Spirit doesn't make new spirit. It forms and transforms. It doesn't make a new basis for the organism. It transforms what already exists. Now, I have to back up just a little bit with this, because Drummond is trying to help us he uses a model that might be helpful to all of us. He says, you know, if you look at soil, it's just inert minerals usually. We won't count all the fungal hyphae and microbes and all that. But soil is basically inert minerals. You can, you know, sand with minerals in it, and maybe clay with minerals in it. But somehow the plant sends roots down into those minerals and absorbs them, and they are transformed into the living matter we call the plant. As the plant grows, it's drawing nutrients from the soil, minerals from the soil, and transforming those into plant cells that are now living.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using this model a lot. He says in humanity, animals transform the relatively immobile plants of cells and minerals from the soil and rocks and other kinds of fun things, and we transform those into movable beings, right? So each level of transformation is more complex and requires that we take something that was at one level of being and move it to a new level of being.
Mm.
So if we keep that in mind, then he says that not all kinds of matter have the power to be the vehicle of life, right? Not all kinds of matter can even conduct electricity. So a living being has qualities and capabilities that not everything out there can have. So then he said, mental protoplasm, which would be our mind, that capacity to generate possibilities, has something in addition to its instincts or habits. It has a soul, a capacity for divinity. It longs and yearns, wastes and pines. And I love this. Waving its tentacles piteously in the empty air, feeling after the source of life.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that a great image?
It's beautiful.
He says, this hunger for your divinity is universal. All right? And that's what I had experienced in that first class in anthropology, right? Oh, my goodness. All of humanity feels this hunger for and aims for, and wisdom is the connection with divinity. Wow. Okay? So as he's going on with this concept of the protoplasm of the spirit, he says the soul is a product of our mentality that integrates our emotional and intellectual experience. I quote Jungian psychoanalyst in my version, saying it's the soul is midway between understanding and unconsciousness. Isn't that lovely?
Mm.
Yeah. So the soul, like the minerals around the roots in the soil or the proteins ingested by a woman who is bearing a child, it's simply a material from which the new organism will emerge. So our individual soul is becoming something so far beyond whatever we have thought ourselves capable of being. So our soul is the spiritual protoplasm. And it's not only our individual soul, it's our combined soul of all humanity that is stepping into, that is being drawn into the spiritual being that we are capable of being.
Oh, how beautifully put. Now, let's talk about the role of environment in all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What role does environment play in shaping our physical and spiritual experience?
You know, one of the reasons that I got involved in the environmental movement was because I could see that our physical environment was having an impact on people, and I could see that it was not a good one. And I became an academic in that world. I prepared environmental impact statements. I taught people how to do that kind of work, and technology assessments, because the world in which we live and move and have our being is both a product of and shaping our beingness. Okay, so to the extent that I'm an infant, I am accepting the world that I'm handed, and then as I emerge into adulthood, I begin to change the world around me. And what Drummond was pointing out is that as physical, natural beings, we have in this natural world in which we live and move and have our being, and our soul can only become the spiritual being that it can become in an equivalent spiritual environment in which we live and move and have our being. Well, that's an interesting phrase because it comes from the New Testament, and it is describing God.
Right.
Right? So what he's saying is, and to quote him, he says, our environment is that in which we live and move and have our being. Without it, we would neither live nor move, nor have any being. Could any of us live without air, without water? Where do our clothes and cars and food come from? If our environment were to change radically, would we change too? And of course, yes. There was a tremendous study done by René Dubos, a microbiologist back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, where he pointed out that all history demonstrates that as the environment radically changes, humanity changes to fit the environment.
Exactly.
So
gives us a context within which we can come to know ourselves.
Exactly. And more than that, it's the context in which we can become other than we have been. So he is saying that what we are hungering for, what the soul is reaching out for, is the experience of the spiritual environment, the experience of being supported and supplied and nurtured and encouraged and given opportunities to develop in the spiritual realm that we also need in the physical realm.
Right. Now, my thinking on this, and like, correct me if I'm going down a wrong road here, Ruth, but I'm thinking to myself that, of course, context gives us that structure within which we can come to know ourselves. Without it, there would be no reference point. There would be just drifting in a sense. But I'm also thinking that therein lies the challenge, that we have to be careful about that, because when we're coming to know our unlimited self, our souls, but we're using, let's say, a finite context, a paradigm in the physical world, we have to be careful to not assume that the contours, the boundary of that paradigm is are the boundaries of our soul. That it's the paradigm but that we to help us know ourselves, but that we're unlimited beings as well. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, but I'm going to suggest a slight shift, okay?
Okay.
And it grows out of the Thomas More work. And what he suggests is the soul is an intermediate phase between the physical and the spiritual, and the soul emerges out of the interaction between the spiritual and the physical. So if the spiritual pre-exists the physical, then the interaction between the spiritual and the physical leads to a sense of self, as you said, an identity, a sense of understanding who I am. And that is a temporary structure that allows us to become more in the spiritual.
Yes.
That's a very complex concept, but the soul that I am, the soul of Ruth Miller, is only an aspect of a larger essential developing, what Emerson called an oversoul, what Jane Roberts called an oversoul.
Yes.
That is consciousness working with matter and the experience and the interactions of people, essences, souls working with matter, all those things, to become more than it ever has been.
Oh, how wonderful that is. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We are going to pause for another quick break, but stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Dr. Ruth Miller.
Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for The Sandy Brewer Show.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
The Divine Divas Radio Show with Patricia Iris Cairns is dedicated to being love in action, light in illumination, and joy in jumping into the next new paradigms for humanity. Divine Divas Radio is evolutionary and soul empowered, sharing insights of hope, love, and joy every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join the Divas as we step into the new era of oneness and peace together. Visit DivineDivasRadio.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's T-H-E-D-R-PatShow.com for listening times in your area.
Are you a health-conscious, spiritual woman who is just tired of struggling with food obsession, emotional eating, and constantly having to struggle with weight and food? You aren't alone. The secret is within us, often in releasing internal resistance and blocks to our own success. To learn how to end the war with food and your body now and find peace, go to eatlikeagoddess.com for your free audio. Break free from food obsession and lose weight without trying. That is eatlikeagoddess.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Welcome back. I'm Christina Jens, and I've been having a fabulous conversation with Ruth Miller. Now, we've got one more chance to give away a free copy of Ruth Miller's book, One Law. It's a beautiful book. So if you're listening to this show today, August 12th, 2013, call in right now to the following number, 1-800-930-2819. 1-800-930-2819. We've got one more chance to give away a free copy of Ruth Miller's book, One Law, and we'll be giving it to the next caller that comes in. Now, on break, our fabulous engineer, Benny, told me that Janice from Washington is standing by, and she has a question for you, Ruth. So let's hear from Janice.
Hi.
Hi, Janice.
Yes. No, hello.
Welcome.
Yes. Thank you. I have a couple comments, and then I would like to hear Dr. Ruth's idea towards them.
Sure.
Whether rightly or wrongly, I have always attributed the following sentiment to Einstein. I relate, yes, there is a God, but I'm just not sure he's on our side. And, of course, this speaks to the beneficence of God. The other comment that I'd like to make is that free will, or what you are talking about, are opportunities to develop in the physical world. Free will, in that case, is it so limited as to be meaningless? It is limited for all of those who suffer from severe retardation, severe physical cerebral palsy, from mental illness, and all of those things in there. You could call in environmental as versus spiritual. So those two questions, beneficence of God, question mark, and free will so limited by physical circumstances of birth as to be meaningless.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Janice. Ruth, what are your thoughts on that?
Whew, two very big questions in a very short time.
Right.
The first one, when he said, I'm not sure God is on our side, there were two things that Einstein was aiming at. One is, Einstein's idea of God was not that there was a guy sitting on a throne somewhere who was directing the lives of individuals in the world. What he came to experience as divinity was this all-pervading, loving power that was moving for the good of all. And when he said, I'm not sure God's on our side, it was actually during World War II, and he was making a reference to the habit that Westerners have of saying, you know, of going into battle saying God is on our side. And he was trying to help people realize that may not be a useful stance to take, even though he was absolutely convinced we had to eradicate what was going on in Europe at that time. But those were the two pieces about Einstein.
Okay.
On the other one, on free will and the appearance of lack of free will at different states of being, a friend of mine just spoke with me today about having watched a movie that I dearly love. It's the life story of a woman named Temple Grandin. And if you're not familiar with Temple Grandin, you need to find out about her. This is a woman who wrote a book in the 80s. It was published in the 90s called Thinking in Pictures. And the author is Temple Grandin, Ph.D., and the subtitle is the experience of autism in modern world, or what? Yeah, my journey through autism, I think, is the subtitle. This is a woman who, on every measure of the time and in our school systems today, was declared autistic, and she has a Ph.D. and she is writing books to help people understand what is really going on. Another book that I love is Sun Rising. Bear, the guy's not—it's not his real name. Oh, I'm missing the author's name, but it's S O N Rising, Barry Kaufman. There we go. And here's another case where the kid is sitting there, and all the kid is doing is spinning plates. And every indication is here's someone who's totally autistic, totally disconnected from reality. And over time, they learn how he is communicating with them. They shift from imposing their way of being onto him to experiencing his way of being. And, of course, at 21, he's at Harvard and goes on and does fabulous things with his life. So our assumption, oh, there's one other piece. Dale Evans Rogers wrote a book in the 50s that my grandmother handed me when I was like 10. And it was the story written from the perspective of a child they had adopted who was clearly a mongoloid child, and Down syndrome, and
Angel Unaware.
Yeah, Angel Unaware, yes. And you
I know all these books, but I'm talking about the majority of people with psychoses, mental illness, where they can't even get in touch with, I mean, you're talking about the wonderful exceptions.
I don't believe they're exemptions. That's why I'm talking about them. My understanding is the issue is, are we requiring them to function as Western intellectuals, or are we allowing them to have their own free will, their own mental capacity develop in their own way? And when we allow their own will instead of imposing our will on them, amazing things happen. And that's where I'm going. So, yes, I recognize that it doesn't look like the person who no longer has the capacity to interact with other human beings in the way we're used to has any will about what's going on in their life. But their internal life, their spiritual life, and their emotional life is very rich, and they are making choices every moment of every day, and we can facilitate that or we can block that. And so I choose to facilitate that.
Janice, I want to thank you for calling in, and thank you, Ruth, for your thoughts on that. Ruth, we have 30 seconds left.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said I was going to give you a chance to talk about the importance of love in this. Go.
Yes. So love is the greatest thing, not for any other reason other than it never fails. When we relate to ourselves, to the world, to each other, from that place of loving, acceptance, appreciation, honoring, patience, all those wonderful things, we experience transformation in our own lives. But more than that, it is always available to us from this, you know, everywhere present divinity that we tend to call God.
Fabulous.
You know, we all have our own names.
Let's end our show on that note. How beautiful. You know, like I said, Ruth, this is a topic that has been a huge interest of mine. I could talk to you all day about it. Thank you so much for being here today.
Truly my pleasure. You're a marvel. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners today for tuning in. And, oh, my goodness, you do not want to miss our next show when I'll be speaking with Pierre Pratervan, sociologist and writer. Pierre was a guest on the show several months ago, and I invited him back to discuss his compelling book, Messages of Life from Death Row. It focuses on an extraordinary correspondence he's had over years with death row inmate Roger McGowan. Roger has spent 25 years on death row in Texas for a crime that many believe he never committed. And what's remarkable is that in a place where so many go mad or commit suicide, Roger made a conscious decision to use the conditions of his life on death row to grow and evolve. And according to Pierre, Roger has reached an extraordinary state of unconditional love. There's that word again, Ruth, love and forgiveness that few ever attain, be it in prison or out here in the free world. So be sure to tune in on September 9th at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Time for another vibrant conversation to change the world. And if you'd like to contact me, just go to peaceworldradio.com. While you're there, check out our upcoming guests, listen to archive shows, and be sure to follow Peace World Radio on Facebook for lots of fabulous insights and inspiration in between shows. I'm Christina Jans. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jans. Tune in each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW for another energetic, vibrant, and engaging show that's getting people talking. Internationally renowned host Christina Jans brings you extraordinary and courageous people who are using their lives to raise the frequency of our world. For more information about Christina and the show, visit peaceworldradio.com and join the talk the world is having.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
Transform your life.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world.